No matter how unwise of a decision you make, God's love is bigger and more powerful, and it can erase it, it can turn it around, it can neutralize it, and it can spare you suffering entirely. God's love is awesome.
Do you feel trapped by your mistakes? We'll discover a way out next. Hello, and welcome to Sentinel Watch, a weekly production of the Christian Science Sentinel. I'm Rita Politan. With me now to talk about correcting our mistakes is Christian Science practitioner and teacher Evan Mellenbacher. Thanks so much for joining us today.
It's a joy to be here, Rita.
Well, Evan, I think most of us have at times made mistakes and wished we could correct them. And sometimes we may even feel trapped by our mistakes, you know, like there isn't a solution and we just have to live with the consequences. So I'd like to ask you, what has your study of Christian Science taught you about correcting mistakes?
That is a good question, Rita, and I certainly can relate. I've certainly made my share of mistakes in the past and later wondered, oh my goodness, how could I have done that? And now what do I do? Do I just need to keep on suffering from it? And what I've learned from my study of Christian Science and God's love and care for me is that no matter what mistake we've made in the past, God still loves us and is giving us whatever we need to get on top of that mistake, release us from the suffering, and move on to something better. Now, that sounds great, but what I've learned is you really need to have an understanding of spiritual reality to make it happen. Because if you size everything up from what you humanly know about what you did in the past, you might be quite despondent or discouraged about your prospects from moving on from where you are. But the truth of the matter is there's a whole lot more to our life than just what we take in through the material senses and those mistakes that may be haunting us. There's a spiritual reality to understand and appreciate that can save us from the suffering of those mistakes that the human mind would want to hold on to. And what Christian Science has taught me is that there's a perfect God and a perfect universe. That God's universe is perfect and everything within it is perfect, including me and my fellow man, and the life that God has given all of us to live. We all have a lot to understand about this universe that God created, but that's okay. We'll get there. As we understand it more, though, we experience more of its blessings in our everyday human life. And part of that reality is God gives us everything we need to be well, to be loved and loving, and to have all of our needs met. It's like there's a spiritual ideal to understand and appreciate about life. It's sort of like Beethoven glimpsing his musical composition, Ode to Joy. What a beautiful piece of music. It's inspired millions and millions of people. He conceived that idea in all of its perfection and did his best to share it with the rest of us. Now, let's say you're a budding pianist. And you sit down at the piano and you put that musical score in front of you and you try to play it. Well, at first, you might not play it so well. You even may make some mistakes when you try to play that piece of music. And what you hear with the ear may not sound so good. However, you never change the music. The music is perfect, and it's right there in front of you to be played perfectly as you understand it more and more. Well, this is how I've learned to approach the human experience and the mistakes we make. We make mistakes along the way because perhaps we don't understand how it could have been done better, or maybe the right way to do it. But that never changes the reality of all things, that God loves us, takes care of us, and gives us everything we need to be healthy, well, and free. So as we keep understanding that more and more, what God is giving us and providing to us, we will be able to find solutions to those problems that we're facing, and we'll be able to make amends in our life that enable us to let the past go, to not let those mistakes haunt us any longer, and to move on to something better. Here's a short example. Oftentimes, people worry about financial mistakes they make in the past. You know, maybe they made a bad financial decision and they feel like they're going to have to suffer for it for the rest of their life. Well, I made one of those. When I was quite young, I made a very poor investment decision. And it's one I gave a lot of thought to, and I invested a lot of what I had at that time in it. And it turned out to be a bad decision, a bad investment. And it took me 2 or 3 years to realize that it became apparent over time that I had made a very poor decision. And it was easy to start feeling sorry for myself and beat myself up and say, how could I do that? Why didn't I do better research and go through that line of thinking? But I stopped and I thought, no, now what do I know about the reality of all things? God loves me. God takes care of me. And God gives me everything that I need always. I must not let this mistake darken my view of what God is doing for me at all times. And so I went to the spiritual idea behind that investment decision, remembering that true supply in my life is not money. It's not money that comes and goes. It's wisdom, intelligence, understanding, love, care coming from God that's always present. So maybe this investment decision resulted in a large monetary loss, which it did, but my real supply coming from God in the form of wisdom, intelligence, insight, and foresight, it was still with me. I hadn't lost that. That was my real wealth, and I would always have that wealth with me. It had not been diminished by that human mistake I had made. And so I let the human mistake go, but I rejoiced in knowing that my real wealth was spiritual, and it was there for me to prosper me in the future. And so now, you know, a few decades later, I look back on that, and yes, I did experience a temporary financial loss, but I experienced a huge spiritual gain. Because the spiritual lesson I learned out of that, I built on for the rest of my life and made some excellent decisions in the future because of that lesson I learned.
Well, I love that idea of perfect God and perfect man, and understanding that is really truly what we need to know in these situations. But, you know, as we're trying then to grasp that spiritual reality, what do you find holds us back?
I think the biggest issue is forgiveness. We have to be willing to forgive ourselves when we make a mistake. That's probably one of the hardest parts of making a mistake is, how could I do that? Mm-hmm. What was I thinking? And then labor under a sense of heaviness or burden about it. But that's really not necessary because, again, getting back to the truth that God always loves us. And God is the source of our supply and of every good thing we need to prosper. It comes right directly from God. And it just keeps coming and coming and coming, and it will never stop. No matter what we do humanly, it will never change the eternal fact of things. It will never change what is coming to us from God. So we have to be willing to get to that point of acceptance of the grace of God that brings us through these challenging times. And often a large part of getting to that point where you're willing and ready to accept that grace of God is forgiveness. We need to be willing to forgive ourselves. We are taught to pray a prayer of forgiveness in the Lord's Prayer that Jesus gave us. Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. I've also learned that it's easier to forgive ourselves if we're good at forgiving others, too. You know, mm-hmm. If we're really hard on others, say our friends or neighbors or workers make mistakes and we're harsh on them, well, it could be that we're being equally harsh on ourselves, and there may be some room for growth there, learning the value and importance of forgiveness to give our neighbor room to improve as well. But we need to do it for ourselves, too, you know. Love our neighbor as ourselves. We need to learn how to love ourselves too. And we can forgive ourselves because in the mind of God, there is no mistake. God does not keep track of our mistakes. He only sees us from his point of view as how he created us in the first place, as this wonderful, awesome, brilliant creation that he is just totally proud of, you know, and totally happy with, and just loves and loves and loves. That's how God loves us. God just loves us like the sun shines. The sun just keeps shining sun all day long. That's what it does. And God just keeps on loving us no matter what. And that love is always there to help us get through our challenges, our trying times, or whatever's coming our way. So be willing to forgive yourself and know that God's grace is there to pick you up in the arms of love and move you forward and even erase the effects of whatever that mistake was. I have another example of that. I know I've shared this story in another program, but this was an experience that could have had life-threatening consequences. This, again, was back when I was probably in my early 20s, and I worked on the farm, and I made a very poor decision when I was working with a toxic chemical on a piece of equipment. I loosened some bolts on a pump I should not have. And if I was thinking clearly, I would not have, but for whatever reason, I loosened these bolts and chemical exploded. Toxic chemical exploded all over my face. And the consequences were dire, with the pain and the blinding of my vision and gasping for breath. I could have stood there and just condemned myself. Oh, Evan, how could you do that? Why did you do that? And just go into a very downward spiral really fast and feel quite hopeless about the situation. But my faith in God was very strong. You know, even at that age, I loved God. I knew God was always there for me, and God gave me everything I needed to be well. And that's where I went. Instead of condemning myself, well, I did admit my mistake, but I quickly got over it. That was like 2 seconds, okay? Mm-hmm. I condemned myself for about 2 seconds. And then I realized, no, that's not how God sees me. God loves me and wants me to be well. I thought about where Jesus said to those who believe, if you drink any deadly thing, it shall not harm you. And I thought, well, the same goes with breathing any deadly thing, or, you know, soaking it in. It shall not harm you when you understand the power and presence of God. And so I put my understanding of God's power and presence into practice there, and it neutralized the smell. It healed the pain in my eyes. It restored my vision back, all in less than about 20 minutes. And I was completely and totally free of any and all symptoms from that exposure to that chemical. And to me, that was life-changing in a very positive way. Know that no matter how unwise of a decision you make, God's love is bigger and more powerful, and it can erase it, it can turn it around, it can neutralize it, and it can spare you suffering entirely. God's love is awesome.
Evan, I love that experience. And, you know, it's so encouraging, I think, to think that no matter what situation you're in, you can always turn to God and really find that complete healing. So then, what do we need to do on a daily basis that keeps us safe and really on a good path?
Keep knowing the truth about yourself as a child of God. God created you intelligent, wise, able, and capable. God created you able to do it the right way, and He gives you the wisdom that you need to do it the right way. And as we proceed through everyday life, we don't always get it right the first time as we're growing in our understanding of truth and how to do things. But again, God doesn't keep track of mistakes. He just sees us as able and capable, and He keeps giving us the wisdom and intelligence we need to do it right. So if we get it wrong, let's say, take in marriage. I'm married, you know, lots of opportunities to get it right. Let's say, you know, I say something thoughtless or careless, and I've learned, well, the first thing to do is to admit it. Oops, I made a mistake. You know, I shouldn't have done that. That's not true to my nature as a child of God. So first, I admit it. I made a mistake. And then I pray to change, to improve myself, and to live more up to the ideal that God created me to be in the first place. And then there's always an opportunity to demonstrate your reformed nature there and prove that you really are a loving, thoughtful person, and that can bring healing to that. For instance, if there's a conflict, and just move us on. And so don't get hung up on all the awful things that happen. Just keep your thought open to how it can be done right and do your best to express that right idea in everything that you do.
Well, Evan, those are very powerful ideas that you've been telling us. But what if somebody is still struggling with a mistake they've made, something that they feel, you know, very bad about and that they just can't let go? What can they do then?
Another lesson I've learned in how to make up for mistakes made in the past is just to rely upon your spiritual sense of things. than what you're taking in physically. In Science and Health, with Key to the Scriptures, Mary Baker Eddy wrote, "What is termed material sense can report only a mortal temporary sense of things, whereas spiritual sense can bear witness only to truth. To material sense, the unreal is the real until this sense is corrected by Christian Science." Well, in other words, to material sense, a mistake does seem very real to us as long as we take it in as a reality. But when we remember that everything seen through the physical senses is temporal and changeable by spiritual truth, then we quit focusing on what we see materially, start focusing on what we know to be true spiritually, and in turn, that will revive the material picture and improve it. Let me give you an example of this. I just love this story. It happened about 15 years ago, actually. I was a speaker around the world on the topic of Christian Science. I also gave a lot of radio interviews often in towns that I visited, at radio stations or even on TV. I was in a particular town to give a lecture, and I was scheduled to go down to the local radio station for a 5-minute interview. Done this hundreds of times. This will be a breeze, you know? Mm-hmm. So I go down there to the radio station, and I check in, and I wait to be called into the studio, and I walk into the studio at the appointed time, and the interviewer doesn't even know who I am or what I'm about, or he was totally in the dark. And so the receptionist handed him this little info sheet, and he quickly took it in, but he obviously was not prepared. But also, my mind just sort of went blank when I was standing there in front of the radio announcer. I couldn't remember my talking points, and it was like this fog just took over my thinking, and he blurted out a question that really wasn't too relevant and caught me off guard, and I did not have a good answer for it, and things just spiraled downward and got worse really fast. I couldn't believe what has happened. I'd never had an experience like that. My thinking just went foggy and mushy, and I even stated one of the facts wrong about the event, and before I knew it, the 5 minutes was gone. Oh, man. When I walked out of the studio, I couldn't believe what hit me. It's like, what happened? How could that happen to me? That was the worst interview I've ever done in my life, and suddenly I thought, oh, my reputation, and what are people going to think of me, and how am I going to face this audience tomorrow night? And, oh, I was just in utter despair, and I went back to my truck really unhappy with myself, really disappointed, really discouraged, and sort of in a daze. I didn't even know how that could have happened, but it did, and it was horrible. And so I sat there, and I thought for a moment. I remembered a quote from Science and Health where Mary Baker Eddy wrote, "The very circumstance which your suffering sense deems wrathful and afflictive, love can make an angel entertain unawares." And I thought, oh, I need one of those angel thoughts right now. And the first thought that came to me was, God forgives me. That God was not going to hold that interview against me. He just loves me and loves me and loves me no matter what. That's just the way the grace of God is. And I needed to accept that love. This was an opportunity for me to grow in my understanding of what infinite love really meant and meant for me, that no matter what I did humanly, no matter how badly I performed, it didn't change anything between me and God. And I could count on that love to pull me through this. And since God had no memory of this in his mind, I didn't need to hold on to it in my mind. And that he would give me everything I needed to do a good job at that talk, you know, later on the next day. And everybody in the audience would just see all the good qualities in me, and they wouldn't remember a horrible interview that they heard on the radio station. In fact, if there's no memory of this interview in God's mind, then there can't be a memory of it anywhere in anybody's thought, because everybody expresses the same one mind of God. And I really found my peace about it, all that dread and unhappiness with myself just lifted out of my thought and just put me up into a moment of being in heaven, you know, where it just didn't matter. It was like the interview was nothing between me and God and the universe of love that I lived in. I found my total peace. You know, after a few minutes of prayer, I stuck my key in the ignition to turn the car on and drive off. And all of a sudden, my cell phone rang. And I looked down at the screen, and it says the call letters for the radio station. And I, oh, my goodness, I wonder what they want. And so I answer the phone, and it's the receptionist. And she says a little breathlessly, oh, my gosh, are you still around? Can you come right back to the studio and redo that interview? And I said, well, yeah. She said, well, the engineer, when he was trying to save the interview, he got one of those error messages that says all unsaved data will be lost, and it was not saved. And so his computer crashed, and the interview is lost. It's gone. It's destroyed. I said, oh, thank you, God. My little prayers. I thought, wow, what an answered prayer. And I said, sure, I'll be right there. And I was in the studio in 30 seconds, and I walked into that studio room full of light and joy and just thrilled to be there. And so we had a fabulous interview, another 5 minutes, but this time I knew my talking points. I knew what to say. I got my facts right, and I left there on a really high note, and it aired, and lots of compliments afterward. So, see, all things are possible to God. You know, we just need to grow out of these errors of belief, rise to who we really are, and appreciate what God's doing for us, and we can move on from this stuff free of scar.
Well, Evan, thanks so much for being with us today.
You are welcome. Thank you, Rita.
I've been speaking with Evan Mellenbacher, a Christian Science practitioner and teacher from Richland, Washington. Thanks for listening to this edition of Sentinel Watch, a weekly production of the Christian Science Sentinel.
This podcast is produced and copyrighted by the Christian Science Publishing Society.